Chapter 4. Imagine the throne rooms of the greatest kings in the world combined, and all their wealth lying at their feet. That's nothing compared to my father's throne room, and those kings are nothing compared to my father. There he sat, on his golden throne, treasure covering the floor as far as the eye could see, glimmering and twinkling in the light of the lanterns. Like a man he sat, more than 3 stories tall, monstrous wings folded behind his back, dragon head resting in the palm of his clawed hand, eyes closed. There had never been a king that big. I pushed the door closed with a loud, stirring the golden coins that slipped from their pile towards the floor. To my relief, my father, a heavy sleeper, did not stir. Yet my heart pounded in my chest. I supposed that it should be pounding in my chest, but I had figured that feeling, that nervous feeling you get as you tread into the unknown, would fade away with age. It hadn't. I pushed the hair back from my eyes and proceeded forward. My father, the largest living thing in the world so far as I knew, was scaled in red mostly, a brick red, with trims of gold along his armored belly, wings, and claws. His taloned toe alone was almost as big as me, and I was big, for a man anyway.
"Come closer," he said from the side of his mouth.
The power of his voice sent tremors through the room, upsetting more piles of precious metals and jewels. I kept going, taking my time, having no desire to begin the conversation, but very eager to end it. I stopped a good 50 feet away, craning my neck upward, trying to find the first word to say. My tongue was thick in my mouth, and I thought of all the brave deeds I had done, but it all seemed so minute before my father. He snorted the air, opened his dragon's maw, and said,
"You smell dirty like an orc."
That bothered me. He always had something to say that bothered me.
"It's good to see you too, father,"
I shouted back, my words barely a gerbils compared to his, and I was loud, loud as an ogre when I wanted to be. One eye popped open, brown like a man's, but flecked in gold and glaring. The other eye opened as well, the same as the other, its intent no less hostile than the first. My father leaned back on his throne, long, powerful neck stretching between the massive marble pillars behind him, which held the ceiling. He was glorious and powerful. His mere presence began to charge my blood. I was proud to have a father like that, but I hadn't told him so in a long time.
"Ah, the fear in your sweat is gone already, I see, and replaced by your spiteful tongue,"
he said, moving very little, poised, rather pleasant, as if he was being served dinner.
"Still, it is good to see you, son, as always."
That part got to me a little, but only because I knew he meant it. The way he said it was the truth. Everything he said was true, I knew, whether I wanted to agree to it or not. My father, which is what I called him, because his real name would take the better part of a day to say, had a voice of a most peculiar quality. Powerful and beautiful, like a crashing waterfall. Wise and deep with all the wisdom in the world combined. Soothing and uplifting. But my proud ears had gotten accustomed to it over the years.
"Yes, well, father, it's good to see you too. There's nothing quite like taking a long journey home, scraping and clawing for your life, bleeding out your last drop."
I laid it on thick.
"Gasping for your last breath, only to be saved at the last moment of life. Healed, only to be jostled and dragged here without a moment's rest."
I began pacing back and forth, hands on hips, throwing my neck back.
"And you complain of all things that I have not had a bath."
Ever see a dragon smile? One with a mouth full of teeth as long as you? That's what I was seeing now, and it bothered me.
"Well, you know how I feel about those foul creatures, and I was excited to see you. Smelling like orc's blood or not, and it's been so long, several weeks at least, my father said. Now my father was being ridiculous. Dragons are never in a hurry to do anything. It takes them a minute just to blink. They aren't slow by any means or measure, no matter how big they are, but they take their good time doing anything. Hours are minutes to them, if even that long. I plopped down on a huge stack of gemstones, inspecting a few before tossing them away.
Father, it's been almost a decade,
I said, agitated.
Have you even moved since the last time I was here?
Certainly, son. I've moved quite a bit since you've been here.
I see.
He never moved, except when it was time to feed, which wasn't very often. He hadn't moved since I was a boy, either.
Father, what would you know of me?
I had to push things, be impolite. It was the only way to make this conversation go quicker. I see things as well, Nathan.
No, don't!
I yelled, but it was too late. He began pronouncing my full name, which is as long as a river, syllable after syllable, ancient, poetic, and powerful. I listened, minute after minute, mesmerized, my aggravation beginning to subside. My name was a beautiful thing, prosperous and invigorating.
Nan,
he finished, over an hour later.
Have you gained any scales?
There it was, the dreaded question about my scales. Here I was, the son of the greatest dragon, but without a single scale. Despite all the right I had done, it seemed I had done my own fair share of wrong as well.
No.
My father snorted. I saw a look of disappointment in his eyes, and I felt disappointed as well. I'd failed. Despite all my great deeds in the lands of Nelsimbor, I was not living up to expectations. He sighed, and it seemed such a terrible thing.
How long, son?
I kicked at the piles of treasure.
200 years.
Like a man, my father reached up and grabbed his skull with his four-fingered hands. I knew what was coming next.
Son, the first 100 years of your life were the most wonderful of mine. You did everything I said. You listened, you learned, you grew. And when you became old enough, I let you choose. Stay in the mountain and continue to grow, or risk losing everything you are, just to see the rest of the world.
He shook his head.
I never should have given you that choice.
I wanted to see things for myself. It was my right. You told me I needed to understand the world of men, I argued.
Yes, I did. But I told you not to get too close. Don't get caught up in their ways. You are not one of them. You are one of us.
How can I be sure? I still look like a man. I talk like a man. He stopped me, head leering over at me, his eyes showing a glimmer of the infernos within.
True, son, but I warned you not to act like a man. I showed you what dragons do, how they act, how they respond.
I rose to my feet and resumed my pacing through the horde, coins jingling beneath my feet.
Maybe I don't want to devour herds of sheep and goats like a beast. I like my food cooked, and making use of knives and forks. It's civilized. Unlike the dragons that rampage the flocks.
Father said,
the herds are for feeding man and dragon alike. Forgive me for forgetting to use my knife.
He waggled a talon at me.
If you had your scales, you'd understand, son. You are meant to be a good dragon. The same as me.
I wanted to please my father. I really did. But as the years passed and the hairs on my skin became more coarse, I had an aching doubt that I was ever going to become a dragon. There were many things that I could do that men could not. Living long was one of them, but I never felt sure.
Father, how can I know that I am a dragon? If I was a dragon, certainly I'd have scales by now. The others do.
Son, you are not like the others. You are like me. As I've explained, there are dragons like the rest, and there are dragons like us. I am the keeper of this world, a protector of men as well as the dragons. But I won't live forever. And who will protect them when I am gone? It has to be you.
Me.
Yes, I knew it was supposed to be me.
Deep down in my heart, I knew it was true, but one would think I'd have a sister or brother to share the responsibility. I continued to pout.
What about my mother? Will you ever reveal her to me?
Oh, stop. You were hatched from an egg.
I was not hatched from an egg like a goose,
I yelled. It infuriated me, him saying that. I knew I had a mother, and I suspected she was mortal. But my father, truthful and wise, had been holding something back all along, and it infuriated me that I did not know.
More like a little crocodile,
he said, joking.
You had scales when you were born. I was so proud. But after a few years, they fell away.
His voice saddened.
And that's when I knew.
He had slipped. There was indeed a mother. I was certain of it. But I could not remember her face or anything of her at all. Was she a dragon or mortal?
Knew what?
I asked, even though I had already heard the answer before. His voice was heavy as he said,
That you would be the child that replaced me. That the responsibility was yours, whether you liked it or not. As I did not have a choice, son, neither have you. There is only one great dragon in the world, and if it isn't me, it must be you. Without us, the world is doomed.
That was it. The ship's anchor strapped onto my back.
The burden of an impossible responsibility that weighed me down to my knees.
I didn't ask for this.